A reading from Acts chapter 9, beginning at the 32nd verse. Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Having celebrated All Saints' Day in recent days, it is fitting that we hear about Peter going out and about amongst the saints today. Luke reports to us in Acts chapter 9 that Peter came down to the saints, that's the holy folk who lived at Lydda. And while he is there, he's then called off to Joppa, about 11 miles away, because Tabitha has died. It appears that they expected Peter to perform funeral rites for her, but he does a little bit better than that, as by the authority of Christ, he raises her from the dead. Then he presents her to, well, the saints, the holy folk, along with the widows who mourned her because of her great acts of charity. Tabitha's influence was apparent, and it lives still today. Consider how many of our congregations have women's guilds that are called the Dorcas Guild. Not Tabitha, the Aramaic name, but they go with the Greek translation Dorcas instead. And some of those Dorcas guilds follow right in her footsteps. They keep themselves rather occupied with all kinds of sewing projects, maybe making blankets for preemies, or whatever else is needed by other people who are in need. Some 2,000 years later, the church still does well to emulate Tabitha's charity. We might be tempted to say that Dorcas was a saint of a woman. And well, she was. But not for the reasons that our sinful nature is tempted to say that she was such a saint. She's a saint of a woman, not because of all the garments that she prepared and gave to others, but she is a saint because of the garment that was given to her by her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That puts her on par with all of the unnamed saints of this passage. After all, who were all the saints that lived up in Lydda that Peter spent time with? The only one we know is Aeneas, whom Christ healed through Peter, so that he walked about after being bedridden for some 8 years. And who are the saints that are down in Joppa to whom Peter presents Dorcas after he raises her from the dead? We aren't told. All that we are told is what we actually need to know, and the Holy Spirit decided we didn't need to know who all these individuals were. There were saints in Lydda, and there were saints in Joppa, because the Lord had given them his righteousness, the garments of salvation. And there are also saints right here. As much as we would like for our names to be remembered 2,000 years from now, like Dorcas's name is still remembered, most saints are too soon forgotten. Some saints even wonder if they are forgotten even while they're still alive here on earth. Even as they go about serving the church faithfully, they have a sense that they are passed over and forgotten. It's remembrance of a great line that Milton has in Paradise Regained. Famous he was in heaven, on earth less known, where glory is false glory, attributed to things not glorious, men not worthy of fame. As much as we would like to not be anonymous, the Lord does not promise us great fame in this life. Instead, he regularly promises us that we will be despised. So you heard in the gospel reading that was appointed for All Saints Day. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are you not when you are famous, but blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Instead of fame, you know spite, all because you are a saint. You may not enjoy the admiration of the world, but you bask in the Father's pleasure because you are a saint. It goes for the saints just as it goes for the one who made them holy, who made them to be saints. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. And yet, his Father looks upon him with pleasure. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That same pleasure belongs to Christ's saints. Even when despised and rejected by men, even when the saint seems anonymous to everybody else. Before the Father, there are no unnamed anonymous saints. Here is what the Lord promises through his prophet Isaiah regarding those who have been made saints in Christ. "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." O saints, that is your fame in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.